Emergency responders have recovered the bodies of two Unalaska high school students who died in a car accident Thursday afternoon. Now police are shifting their attention to the ongoing investigation into why the pickup truck tumbled 900 feet down a ravine on Mount Ballyhoo and broke into pieces. Interim Police Chief John Lucking says his department is waiting on toxicology test results to determine whether the driver, 18-year-old Dustin Ruckman, was under the influence of alcohol or drugs when he lost control of the vehicle. Ruckman survived the accident that killed his high school classmates, 16-year-old Carly McDonald and 18-year-old Kiara Renteria Haste.
We have samples from the driver that are being analyzed right now, so we're anxious to see what the results are with that. And we'll just be putting the pieces together to try and develop the full picture of, you know, exactly what did happen, sticking to the facts. And, you know, it's not a matter of bringing, you know, any kind of blame. It's just a matter of our job is finding the facts as to what truly happened.
Police will also rely on autopsy results from the state medical examiner's office. Lucking says McDonald's and Renteria Hayes' bodies were being sent to the Anchorage office on Saturday for review.
They want to determine an exact cause of death. That's important to them. Document the particular signs of trauma so that if they have a story to tell in relation to the investigation about what happened, then those facts can be collected.
Emergency responders spent some 30 hours staging search and recovery operations on the Ulacta Head side of Ballyhoo, where the truck went into a ravine and tumbled to the shoreline below on Thursday around 1:30 p.m. Due to the vehicle's widespread wreckage and the mountain's rough and extremely steep terrain, police said Renteria Hayes' body wasn't recovered until Friday around 2 p.m., with the recovery of McDonald's body following 4 hours later. Lucking says about 30 responders helped, including local police officers, firefighters, and emergency medical service providers, as well as two members of Kodiak Island Search and Rescue who were flown to the island on a C-130 aircraft by the U.S. Coast Guard.
Everyone is off the mountain. Everyone is safe, short of, you know, bumps and bruises and a couple pulled muscles. I think everybody is better for having a little bit of time away from that mountain.
While the Kodiak Rescue Unit was scheduled to leave Saturday afternoon, local responders plan to sit down with counselors Saturday evening.
Stress-wise, obviously, dramatic, but you kind of get in a slow mode while it's happening, and it's afterwards that things start getting in when you do have time. So setting up a debriefing to deal with some stress just amongst ourselves. So we'll be, you know, supporting each other with the health and mental health to kind of like get some of the tension out if people need it. Just like the community, everyone has to deal with things in their own way.
Lucking also says local responders will take time to review their operations.
By and large, it's an incredible response. And even as efficient as it could be for the conditions that we face. But there's always room for improvement. And you know, there are big things that we recognize, and there will be little things that when we look, we'll see.
Lucking says he's already identified response time and training as two areas that need work, especially after a helicopter sent to help was grounded in Cold Bay and a Kodiak rescue unit was needed for their mountaineering skills.
We learned that even for the Coast Guard to respond with a helicopter, if there's not a vessel in the immediate area, 6 hours was the minimum that we were able to get some help. And that's just not acceptable. So often in the island, we're going to have to take care of ourselves. And that means training people and getting some equipment here that we haven't had in the past.